Welcome to another podcast by Every Nation Brisbane. We're so glad you can join us here today. For more information about our church, visit us on the web at enbrisbane.org. Please enjoy the following message.
So thankful that you can join us this morning. And like Steph said at the beginning, like if you want to find out more about who we are, check us out on our socials. Follow us on our socials, Every Nation Logan. Look for us there. And you know, if you have any questions, you want to find out what's happening, that's the place to check it out on, okay, on our socials there. I love team sports. Who loves team sports? Yes, yes. Because, like for me, working in a team environment, when you're part of a team, you've got to get, you know, the team together, whether it's five guys or 15 guys or 13, or, you know, that group of people. Those individuals, you got to bring them together to bring them onto the same page so that we can all move forward together and achieve the prize, the goal of winning the chip, right? Winning the championship or winning the prize at the end of that season. Now, there have been many great teams throughout the year, right? Like for me, I'm a sporty fan, okay? So some of my teams, okay? Why are you laughing, Paul? Why are you laughing? Let me finish my story, okay? Just listen to me, okay? Okay, so I'm a Miami Heat fan, okay? Come basketball, Miami Heat fan. Any Miami Heat fans around here? Yeah, right there. One. What are you guys? Are you all Lakers fans? Wow, okay. And of course, you know, what New Zealander is not an All Blacks fan? Right, you know, so, you know, the All Blacks got to be there. And then this is probably one of the best teams of all of history, right? All of history. And it's the New South Wales Blues. Serious, preaching it. I am, bro. Turn my volume up. Okay, I'm only putting it in there because Steph, right? Steph last week, she put up this Queensland photo. She didn't even ask me. And she put it up there. So, you know, I have to balance it out, okay? Now, but who did, you know, Steph gave a great word last week, right? And so these teams, they needed to work together. These teams, they needed to come together in accomplishing the goal of winning the prize at the end. So they understood what was required of each of them as individuals. When they stepped onto the court or when they stepped onto the field, they knew they were all of one mind, right? They knew we got to work together. Each person's got to pull their weight, play their part, do their thing on that field. And so they worked as a team to get the best out of each other. You know, we as a church, we are very similar team aspects of that as well. They're very similar team aspects to this as well. You know, we work together to fulfill what God has called us to do as a team. And what God has called us to do is to make disciples. Our vision as a church identifies us with a larger team. Like we're part of the Every Nation in Maui. We're part of Every Nation down in Sydney. We're part of Every Nation in New Zealand. It's a global movement. We're part of a global team. Okay? Our vision as a church is this. Can we read that? Can we read that all together? Is that all right? Okay? Every Nation Logan is part of the Every Nation family of churches and ministries that exists to honor God by establishing Christ-centered, Spirit-empowered, and socially responsible churches and campus ministries in every nation. That's the team that we're part of, right? That's our vision. And so the title of my message today is We Are Discipleship. Okay, We Are Discipleship. Sorry, I'm just trying to, well, yeah. There we go. We are discipleship. Okay? We are. And so in this series, we're going to be looking at our values, our core values as a church. And so if you're visiting here for the first time today, you know, you came on the right day. Okay? So you're going to hear about what are the things that are important to us as a church. What are the core beliefs for us as a church family and being here in Logan? What sort of culture are we wanting to build in our church? Right? What sort of environment are we wanting to build as a church family so that we can go out and influence and impact our community? And so our values are discipleship, family, outreach, worship, and the next generation. Those are our core values. And so we're going to be going through each one of these over the next 5 weeks, okay? And so today we're going to be focusing on discipleship. And so here's a question for us. If you were only given 3 years to make an impact on the world, what would you do? If you were given 3 years to make an impact on the world, what would you do? Would you promote a health and well-being program, right? To engage with people in your community to try and, you know, encourage a healthy lifestyle? Or maybe you'd volunteer in a not-for-profit organization, right? Because you want to be part, you want to be on the ground, right? You know, being the hands and feet in the community. Or maybe you want to teach people. Maybe you want to teach others about the things that you have learned. Right? Maybe you want to be a mentor to young people, to the next generation. Maybe you want to help to, you know, inspire them, to motivate them so that they can see a future, a clearer future for them. Or maybe you want to be on the council or a mayor, right? Who's seen all the billboards, the promotions that are all around Logan, right? Choose me to be your mayor. Choose me to be your counselor, right? There are so many different ways, so many different things that we can do to impact our world. But you know, the thing with that is that we aren't guaranteed that what we do will make the impact that we are expecting, right? We got to just try it. But Jesus did something pretty radical in his time. And it can be summed up in this one word, discipleship. Jesus dedicated 3 years of his life teaching, developing, encouraging, correcting, and preparing these 12 men for a mission, for a purpose. And he even had like three of them that were real close in terms of like where he had like more closer and intimate conversations with, right? There were three guys that were like an inner circle for him. This was Jesus' radical model for building his team. This was his model for growing the church. And so why discipleship? Why does Jesus choose discipleship? Why this particular way? Why not just gather a big crowd of people, give an inspirational message, and then, you know, get them to make a decision and then send them back to their own places, send them back into their homes? Why not do it that way? It's easier. But that way will mean, if we do it that way, then it's just an event. It's just a one moment in time. Whereas discipleship, it's a journey that we have to walk through. Discipleship will mean that we got to walk closely with people. There's got to be some changes that will need to happen. And there's going to be some challenges along the way. And these are three challenges that I think will happen, that we'll come up against. There'll be a challenge in our thinking, right? How we see ourselves, how we see the world around us, how we will see the people around us. So challenge how we will think through things when we choose the journey of discipleship. It will challenge our commitment, the commitment to follow Jesus wholeheartedly. Right? It'll challenge her, because like a lot of us, we can be committed to so many things. But if we were committed to Jesus, what would that look like? And it would mean challenging transformation. And I don't mean transformation as in terms of like just head knowledge. No, transformation is like a different way of living, a different way of responding, a different way of behaving. And so when we decide that we want to be on this discipleship journey, these aspects, thinking, commitment, transformation, these things and other things, they will challenge us. They will be right up front and personal with us. And so it'll be up to us whether are we going to be willing to change, or will we prefer to just stay as we are and just carry on as we're living. So our passage today, this is Jesus calling his first disciples, right? In verse 18, while walking by the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon, who's called Peter, and Andrew, his brother, casting a net into the sea. They were fishermen, and he said to them, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. And so leading up to this point, Jesus has been baptized. He was baptized by John the Baptist in the Jordan River in chapter 3. And then in chapter 4, it starts off with Jesus going into the wilderness and spending 40 days and 40 nights fasting and praying. And it's there where he's tempted by Satan. And then we also read in verse 12 of chapter 4, a little bit before this, where it says that when Jesus heard that John the Baptist had been arrested, it says that Jesus withdrew into Galilee, more specifically, into a town called Capernaum, which was by the sea. And so this is the beginning of Jesus' ministry. This is the start of him gathering his team. He's about to bring his all-star team together. And he's starting on the Sea of Galilee. And so he sees these two brothers, Simon and Andrew, and they're casting a net into the sea. So Capernaum is a fishing town because it's located right next to the sea here. So this was a, in verse 19 it says, follow me and I will make you fishers of men. Follow me and I'll make you fishers of men. And so what we're seeing here, we're seeing three things here, okay? We're seeing fishing, right? Simon and Andrew, they're fishing, they're casting a net. Number two is that there's an invitation. There's an invitation to follow. This is in the form of like Jesus presenting to them, right? He's saying, come follow me. And so this is the invitation. And then number three, we have fellowship. We're seeing Simon and Andrew, they're working together. This is the family fishing business. This is where fellowship is happening for them. And so this is the model that Jesus gives us for healthy discipleship to happen, where we fish, where we follow, where we fellowship. And it's happening all right here in this moment on the Sea of Galilee. And so for us as Every Nation Logan, this is how we want to disciple people. This is how we want to build and teach and equip and grow with our people, where we all understand and we live out what it means to fish for the lost, to follow Jesus, to fellowship with other believers. When we're walking in these three things consistently, we're essentially building disciple-making disciples. As we are walking through this journey, we ourselves are being continually discipled as we're discipling others around us. When we ourselves are modeling what it looks like to fish for the lost, to follow Jesus, to fellowship with other believers. This breeds life. This breeds, this encourages growth. This strengthens communities. And this draws us closer to Jesus. Let me give you an example. Okay? I see this week in and week out with our Silverbacks crew. Right? For me, myself, I don't like to train. But for me, that's not the goal. The goal for me is that I get to be around the people in our community. For me, it's about posture, positioning myself so that people are coming there for a workout, but I want to be there to help them in the workout. I want to be there to encourage them. I want to be there to be able to cheer them along. Let's go, bro. Let's go, sis. Keep moving. This is a way for us to build relationally with people when they come through our doors in Silverbacks. And our whole team, we get this, right? We get this. We get that this is an opportunity for us to engage with our community, to meet people right where they are. Everyone wants to be healthier. Everyone wants the six-pack. But it's a journey we got to walk through. And it's, for us as a church, if we're there with people, walking through that journey with them, that's a good place for the church to be at. That's the place that we're called to be at. That's what we're called to do. And so let's break this down a bit, all right? And so, first one, a disciple follows Jesus. A disciple follows Jesus. So the Greek word for disciple is this word mathetes, mathetes, which means to be taught, to be trained, a learner or a pupil, right? All my students in here, you are a mathetes, okay? So in Jesus' time, it was normal for for rabbis to have disciples, right? And we know through the gospel accounts that Jesus was often called rabbi, teacher, right? That's what they'll call him by. And so I was thinking, what would it have looked like for a first century disciple to follow a rabbi or follow a teacher? So I'm going to give you like the preview version, right? The preview version is like the 3-minute version, right? You know, I haven't got the time for the full-length movie today, but the 3-minute version says this. It's not easy. It was not easy to be a disciple. Firstly, a couple of things. Firstly, you had to be really smart. You would have had to memorize or know most, if not all, of the first 5 books of the Old Testament. All of those first 5 books. So you think about it, Genesis, all of Exodus, all of Deuteronomy, Leviticus, Numbers, all those books had to be up here. Because the other thing, remember, you got to remember, at this time, they didn't have books, they didn't have paper, so it was oral communication. It was spoken word. That's how they remembered it. That's different, right? Like for me personally, I rely on my notes. I rely on my technology to help me remember things. But these guys were like, it was all up here. It was all in here. Secondly, there was this personal connection with the rabbi, right? The disciples had to be with them 24/7. They would be with them everywhere they would go. And so they would be like this shadow for the rabbi. And then thirdly, the disciple would engage in learning through conversations. So the disciple would ask questions. The disciple would make observations. And he would ask about this passage, you know, from the Old Testament, or why is this happening? And that's how the dialogue would happen between a teacher, a rabbi, and a disciple. Who would want to commit to that? I would tap out at seeing what I'd have to, you know, memorize. Have you seen those first 5 books of the Bible? They're like this thick, right? And so it's like, that was the expectation of a disciple. That was the level of commitment needed to be a disciple. John Mark Comer, he's a pastor and author based in Portland, Oregon in the U.S. And he describes the goals of a disciple is to be with Jesus, to become like Jesus, and to do what Jesus did. To be with Jesus, to become like Jesus, and to do what Jesus did. So if you think about this, if you look at this, it's like, wow, as a disciple, then I have to reframe, reorganize my life to be around Jesus, right? Is that the image there? To be with, to become like, to do what Jesus did. So it's not like reorganizing my life to be around my priorities, but it's reorganizing it to be around Jesus' priorities. It's like we're trying to be a carbon copy of Jesus. That's what a disciple is doing. He wants to be like his teacher. She wants to be like her rabbi. And John Mark Comer says this, he has this question. And the question he says is that, the question is not that you're being formed, right? But the question is actually, who or what is forming you, right? who or what is forming you? Imagine if we were like to try and plot out our life in, say, the next 5 years, 10 years, 15, 20 years, based on who we are today. What would that look like for you? Based on who and what you're forming your life around. What would that look like? What would it look like in 5 years? What would you look like in 10 years? What would you look like in 15 years? What or who would we look like? Would we look like Jesus' character? Would we look like his disciples? Would we look like that we have been with Jesus? Or would we look like something totally different? A disciple follows Jesus. All right? Second thing. Everyone all right? You okay? These are like really serious looking at me and concerned. Second one, a disciple fishes for the lost. A disciple fishes for the lost. And so in Matthew 4:19 from our passage, it says, and he said to them, follow me and I will make. Everyone say, I will make you fishers of men. And so the Greek word for men here is this word anthropos, which is like a generic term for mankind, or, you know, for the human race. So it includes men and women. And so it's to be fishers of men and women, okay? Now think about this. Jesus is going into the world of these fishermen, and he's speaking their fisherman language. So he's using terms that they would be familiar with. And he gives them an invitation to come. Come and learn from me. Come and I will teach you. I will come and be my disciple, and I will teach you how to fish for men and women. Fishing for men and women. That sounds pretty cool. Especially if you're a fisherman, right? The words I will make is from the Greek word poio, which means to make them fit for, to qualify them for fishing, right? So now think about this. Jesus, by trade, he's a carpenter. But here he is walking along the side of the shore, and he invites these professional fishermen, right? Professional fishermen to come and follow me, and I'll teach you how to fish for men and women. So these guys must have understood the authority that Jesus was speaking to them with, right? They said, oh yeah, this guy, he knows what he's talking about. And the authority that Jesus is speaking about is spoken of in Matthew 28, 18 to 20. And this is commonly known as the Great Commission, or our job description as disciples or followers of Jesus. And it says this, and Jesus came and said to them, all authority, everyone say all authority, in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always, to the end of the age. Jesus carried all authority. Jesus has all authority. Because Jesus has all the authority in heaven and earth, therefore we as his disciples are to go and make disciples. We're to instruct people, to teach people, to serve people, to baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that God has shown us. And so going into places where people are at, in our workplaces, in our classrooms. I met a guy yesterday, a bro yesterday, and we got to talking after Silverbacks, after our session yesterday. And I asked him, hey, bro, how did you find out about Silverbacks? And so he started to tell me his story, that he apparently came to because me and my wife, Helen, we used to run classes in lifestyles. And so he was saying how he had come through to one of our classes back in lifestyles. And I was like, oh, awesome. And he was saying, yeah, how he started to follow us, he started to follow silverbacks. And then he had a health scare at the end of last year. And so he had decided, he was on this journey now of reclaiming his health and his mental health as well, physical health and his mental health. And I was like, man, that's awesome, bro. And I just listened. I was just listening, asking questions about him, and I was like really encouraged by it. And it was interesting at the end, like he just said, man, thank you. I appreciate that you have a concern for me. And I was like, bro, this is what we do here in Silverbacks. In my head, I was thinking, this is what we're here for, to hear and talk with people. This is an example of fishing. We were engaging with people in conversations. If it isn't in Silverbacks, maybe it's in your workplace. How are you talking with people in your workplace? You may have workmates that are going through stuff. Maybe they're struggling in a relationship, in their marriage, or maybe financially, or maybe it's just something that they're walking through, a challenge that they haven't been able to talk with anyone, because they're carrying it themselves. But God's placed you there to be a listening ear, to maybe it's just to hear them. Or maybe it's to pray for them. Or maybe it's for you to share. Maybe you have a similar story and God's placing you there for you to share your story and encourage them. That's fishing. That's you talking to them. That's you engaging with the people around us. This is what it can look like for a disciple that fishes for the lost. Last one. A disciple fellowships with other believers. A disciple fellowships with other believers. Matthew 4, verse 20. Immediately they left their nets and followed him. And going on from there, he saw two other brothers, James, the son of Zebedee, and John, his brother, in the boat with Zebedee, their father, mending their nets, and he called them. Immediately they left the boat and their father and followed him. So verse 20, where it says that immediately they left their nets and followed him. This is the response of Simon and Andrew. They leave what they're doing, and they follow Jesus immediately. And then you have the sons of Zebedee, James and John here. And Jesus presents them with the same invitation. And their response is the same. Immediately they left the boat, their father, and they followed him. A couple of things that I want to highlight here. When we make the decision to be a disciple of Jesus, if we want to be completely obedient to what Jesus is calling us to, then there will be some things that we may need to leave behind, right? And this is what we're seeing here in this example. These guys, they're fishermen. This was their way of supporting their families. This was their livelihood. And they're walking away from it to follow Jesus. Now, I'm not saying to walk away from your job today and follow Jesus. Listen to the Holy Spirit. But like, this is the cost of discipleship. This is the cost of following Jesus. That we would decide to prioritize Jesus, to prioritize what He is calling us to. And I think there's some of us in here that there could be some relationships that we may need to leave behind. For some of us in here, there may be some career choices that we may need to leave behind. For others of us in here, there may be environments that we may need to leave behind in order for us to follow Jesus wholeheartedly. The second thing I want us to see here is the theyness. I want to say theyness. Yes, gayness is working with others in what God is calling us to. This here, this is part of gayness as well. This is an usness, okay? I know I'm creating new words, I know. Is that Henry, speak English, bro. But you get it, right? This isn't just a my thing, or a Steph thing, or a JR thing. This is an us thing. It's a they-ness thing. I love how Hebrews puts it in Hebrews 10, in terms of us encouraging one another. It says this, and let us consider how to stir up one another to love, to love and good works, stirring up one another to love and good works, not neglecting to meet together as it is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. I want to highlight that word, not neglecting, not forgetting, not abandoning, not walking away from meeting together. You know, I'm sure we've all learned a lot from in the last 3-4 years, right? You know, about ourselves, about, you know, our society around us. We've seen a lot of things happening, right? Both locally and globally. One of the things that I learned during the COVID period was the importance of close interaction with people, right? Gatherings like this. During COVID, it wasn't happening like this. Online was the cool thing for a little bit, right? Because it was new, it was exciting. But then after a while, I was like, yeah, it's not the same. It's not the same watching someone on the screen. It's not the same talking to your family on the screen. So I was really looking forward to coming out of that lockdown situation and being around people again. But you know, there were people there that didn't feel the same way either, right? And that is okay too, because I think everyone that walked through that season, we all learned something about ourselves, about how we form relationally, how we see the relationships that we have. Learned something during that time. But can I encourage us this morning? Fight to be around community. Fight to be around spiritual community. Don't just attend. Don't just be a body in a seat. Showing up, I want you to engage. I want you to be aware of the people around you. I want you to talk to people around us. I want us to see that this is a place where we can, you know, engage in conversation, that we can talk to one another, that we can get to know one another. And this is why. Now, I like what Ray said a couple of weeks ago, look good on the outside, right? Have all the gears, right? You know, we can look good coming to church. We can put on our church clothes. We can put on our church smiles. We can even put on our church lingo, right? We have all the gear. We have no idea. Hey, we look the part. Stuff. We turn up to church physically here, but our mind is so busy thinking about what I've got to do after this, what I've got to do tomorrow, the things that I need to take care of. There's this meeting I've got to have. There's this task I've got to do. And so we're here physically, but our minds are like, nah, God, I'm too busy. I want to be in your presence, but I got to think about other things. But God is saying, if you're going to be here, my son, my daughter, I want to speak to you. So be here, be present. be ready to tune into what God is saying to you. It may be just one word that you may have seen on here or may have heard through the service today, but that was your moment where God was wanting to speak to you. That was that moment that God was wanting to show you something, to impart something into you. And so when we encourage us, when we come together, come ready to engage, come ready to meet with people, come ready to get around others, right? Don't just stay around our own normal people. Not to say that other people are abnormal, but no, you know what I mean. You know, like if I'm always talking to Livy after church, I see Livy all the time. I see my family on this side. I see my family in the middle here. I see my family on this side. Let's learn to have a conversation. Find out something new about someone, right? And one of those ways we do that is by having family feeds. It's one way that we try to encourage this environment. Family feeds isn't just about the food, okay? Although I've said, okay, I'm sorry if I have said and given that, you know, that sort of image. Food is good, but fellowship is better as well. When we're talking with people, we're getting to know people. So I want to encourage us, take those opportunities, right? This is what discipleship can look like. When we fish for the lost, we follow Jesus, and we fellowship with other believers. This is the team culture that we want to build in Every Nation Move. This is what team discipleship can look like. Learning, growing together with people around us. So here's our discussion question for today. So I'll give you 3 minutes to have a chat with the person next to you, okay? Are you a disciple of Christ? Okay? No? Would you like to become one? Okay? If you are, then are you making disciples? Are you, how are you walking out your faith in the different communities that you are involved in? Have a chat with the person next to you. We'll see you in 3 minutes.
We hope you've enjoyed today's message brought to you by Every Nation Brisbane. For more information about our church, visit us on the web at ianbrisbane.org. Thank you for listening. God bless.